lot of times the din and dinim amunus depends on what the minig amakim is. There is a Mishnah in Seches HaPoelim, I think, towards the end of Bava Metzia, where the Mishnah says, based on the pasuk in Barchei Nafshi, that Yetziyadim lefol loyvel abadosa yaday yarev, that one who is engaged by someone else to work all day long, it's understood that he has to work from Alos HaShachat till Tzeis HaKochavim. So the Yerushalmi has the following case, based on the Mishnayos. What if the fellow agreed to work for someone else, and they agreed they're going to pay him $2,000 a week, and then he works the whole week from 9 to 5, and then at the end of the week he wants to get his $2,000. So the boss who hired him asks him, did you come at Alos HaShachat? Did you stay till Tzeis HaKochavim? He says, no, he worked from 9 to 5. So he says, no, it's a pasuk in Barchei Nafshi. He's supposed to work from Alos HaShachat till Tzeis HaKochavim. So he's not going to pay him the full salary. And the employee says, I never heard of that. He never heard of the pasuk in Barchei Nafshi. And he says, everybody in the whole community, everybody works normally from 9 to 5. So the Mishnah says, if that's the minig hamdina, it's considered kilu hisnu. So even though the din, strictly speaking, is when you work for someone else, he's supposed to work from Alos HaShachat till Tzeis HaKochavim. But if he made up in advance, otherwise, then we say, masna mashakasa batar b'davish b'mamet, tanoi kayim. Whatever tanai you make in dini mamenis is binding. Let's say, whenever there's an issue, whenever there's a dispute between two Jewish individuals, so there's a prohibition, they're not allowed to go to Arkoyes Shel Nochrim. Years ago, the Arkoyes, the secular courts, used to be sponsored by Avodah Zarah religions. So Rashi and Chumash quotes, if you go to Arkoyes, Rashi's quoting from the Mechilta, it's an Eloi Liyi Rosam. He's showing cover to the Avodah Zarah, so that's a terrible aver. Even Bizman Azeh, that the secular courts in America and the secular courts in Eretz are not sponsored by Avodah Zarah, but still, you're not allowed to go to Arkoyes Shel Nochrim. Elam Mishpatim Shetosim Lefneim Lefneim Lo Lefnei Arkoyes. You have to go Davke to a Din Torah. What happens if there's a court case between a Jew and a non-Jew? So Mikar Adin, you're supposed to follow Dine de Malchusa. There are a lot of discrepancies, a lot of differences between what it says in Chosh Mishpat and what it says in the secular law of New York State. Every state has their own legal code. A lawyer has to be licensed by the state because every state has a different legal system. So the Gemara says, Mi'ikar Adin. The Gemara in the end of Bava Kama says, Mi'ikar Adin, whenever one of the parties is a non-Jew, let's say two non-Jews come to a din Torah. They come to the rabbis, they should paskin for them. So the rabbis are supposed to paskin based on din and the Malchus, they're not supposed to paskin based on Chosh Mishpat. Or if one of the two baladinim is a Jew, one is a goy, so he's supposed to paskin based on din and the Malchus. If one of them is a non-Jew, the Gemara says, if one of them is a non-Jew who's an Ovid Avod Zarah and the other one is a Jew, so then Bezin should try to be Mizaka the Jew. So if by using Halacha, if by using Chosh Mishpat, the Jew will win, so they should paskin the court case between the Jew and the Nochri Ovid Avod Zarah. They should paskin in favor of the Jew based on Dina Ater. And if he'll win, if you follow Dina the Malchusa, then you should paskin based on Dina Machusa. So what kind of business is that? You favor the Jew. So the Rambam said, that's only if the party, the Tzadchik and Eged, is an Ovid Avod Zarah. So we're out to punish him because he's an Ovid Avod Zarah. What if he's a plain Nochri? He's not an Ovid Avod Zarah. A nice Arab who doesn't worship Avod Zarah. He does other things, but he's not an Ovid Avod Zarah. So then the Rambam says, the din is that you follow Dina the Machusa. Whenever there's both parties involved are Nochrim, or at least one of the parties involved is a Nochri, so then you follow Dina the Machus. So what if all the parties involved are Jewish, but Lechatchila, they say they want to have an arbitration panel, and they want them to paskan according to Dina the Machus. So if you want to, you can do that. In fact, let's say when they enter into business together, the fellow sells merchandise to another one, and when he sells to Jews and to non-Jews. So when he sells to non-Jews, he has to screw his head on one way, have in mind Dinin the Machusim. He has to make all the conditions based on the assumption that they're going to follow Dinin the Machusim. When he's going to sell to the Jews, he has to screw his head on differently, have in mind they're going to follow Dinin HaTorah. So the Shach in Chosh Mishpat, they say in Chosh Mishpat, we don't say Dinin the Machusim, Dinin whenever both parties involved are Jewish. They're not allowed to go to our quest, they have to go to a Jewish bezin. When they go to a Jewish bezin, the Jewish bezin paskin based on Dini the Machusa, are they paskin based on Dini HaTorah? Based on Dini HaTorah. Whenever all the parties involved are Jewish, you don't follow Dini the Machusa. But if the two parties come to Bezdin and Lachatchila, they say, we want to follow Dini the Machusa. Okay, you can make whatever Tanah you want. And then, let's say, when they entered into the business agreement in the first place, an employee with an employer, or a person selling merchandise to someone else, and they make a tanai in advance. Whenever an issue comes up, we're so used to Din and the Machusa, because we deal with Nachrim all the time. We want to follow Din and the Machusa. So you can make such a tanai. And even if they go to a Jewish Bezdin, a Jewish Bezdin has to paskan according to Din and the Machusa. That's the Din HaTorah. That's what the Chazon Ish writes in the volume on Chosh Mishpat. Chazon Ish wrote every volume separately. And then after he passed away, so they put every Mesichtas, and then they put Arachaim together, Ebenezer together, Chosheh Mishpat together. So after he passed away, the relatives put everything together. So in the volume on Chosheh Mishpat, they quote this in the name of the Chazon Ish, that if the parties involved, when the boss hires the employee to work for him, or they agree he's going to deliver merchandise, And they said in the agreement, and we want everything to be according to Din and the Machusa. So true, this is supposed to go to a Jewish Bezin, but the Jewish Bezin has to know Din and the Machusa. So it's better not to have three Rabbonim in that case, better to have three businessmen who know what Din and the Machusa is. Maybe it's better to have three religious lawyers. You shouldn't have Goyim. If you want, that's a big Machlekes and Achrein. I mean, not allowed to go to our cause. What if you want to have a non-Jewish panel of three judges, all three are non-Jewish. And they're going to say whatever they think Yosha dictates. That's what they have in certain businesses. They have an arbitration panel. They have three people who have been in their business for 50 years. And they give a psak based on arbitration, whatever they think Yosha dictates. Pshara, whatever they think Yosha dictates. So that's a big machlokes achronim. You're not allowed to go to arkoes. Arkoes means it's sponsored. The secular court is sponsored by the government. What if it's not a secular court sponsored by the government? It's an arbitration panel. All the three people are not Jewish. But it's not sponsored by the government. It's not sponsored by any church. Not sponsored by the government. So that's a big machlokes. The Nesivos and others. Is that also included in the Issur Arkoes? Because all the three judges are going to be Nochrom. Are they saying no? That you have a right to make such a tonight. So the Chazon Ish writes, Chelek Chosh Mishpat, if the two Jewish people who entered into a contractual agreement, either employee and employer or selling merchandise, if they made up in advance, they want to follow Din and the Malchusa, so now the Din HaTorah requires that you have to follow Din and the Malchusa, even if they go to Bez no Jewish people. You have to follow Din and the Malchusa. So the Shach and Chosh Mishpat quotes from the Mordechai, in the name of the Bali HaTos. Mordechai was the Talmud of the Maharam Rutmer. That was the end of the period of the Bali HaTos. But he quotes from the earlier Bali HaTos that if there's a Jewish storekeeper, a Jewish businessman who deals in business with Jews and non-Jews, so since when he deals with the non-Jews, he has in mind that he's following the Machusa, so the understanding is self-understood even though he never said it. It's self-understood as Kilu Hisnu, that even when he deals with the Jews, everything is going to follow Din and Machusa. How is he going to know every single customer, whether this customer is Jewish or not Jewish? Someone was just telling me over Shabbos. He went on a plane from one of the Arab countries, and he had to go on the plane at this 5 o'clock in the morning, and he couldn't daven that early. So after the plane took off. So then he went to take his talis and tefillin to start davening on the plane. So he said, one-third of the people, he thought he was the only Jew on the plane. And he felt uncomfortable. He's going to have to daven there with his talis and tefillin. And he said, one-third of all the people on the plane went to take the talis and tefillin. Everybody was Jewish. All the people were Jewish, yeah. So the Shach writes this then. He quotes from the Balei HaTosfos like that, from the Mordechai B'Shem Balei HaTosfos. A person deals in business with Jews and non-Jews, and when he deals with the non-Jews, he certainly has a mind. Everything is according to Dina Machusus. Even when he deals with the Jews, even though he didn't say it, it's since that's a Minin HaMedina, that they follow Dina the Machusus, because they deal with Jews and non-Jews alike, so it's considered, whatever is the Minin is considered Kilu Hisnu. So that's what the Rishalmi has, that famous comment, Minig Oika Halacha. If you have a minig that's against the halacha, you follow the minig. How can you? What do you mean? There's a minig that we don't observe kashrus and Shabbos and Taras Hamishpach. What do you mean, minig oika halacha? That's a minig shtus. You're not allowed to follow that. So Yerushalmi has that expression, minig oika halacha. And again, to this din, hamoitzim bechaver, all of haraya. If the employee did a whole week's work, he only came 9 to 5. He didn't come from halos al shachat till seiskam. At the end of the week, he wants his whole salary, and the balabos says no. You're supposed to work from Alois HaShachat and Seis HaKachavim. But since the Minig HaMakam is that no one works from Alois HaShachat to Seis, everybody works from 9 to 5 or something like that. So the Minig is Erka Da'alocha. Da'alocha is Hamoitzi Machavera, all of Haraya, that if the employee wants to get paid the full salary, he should have to prove that that was the understanding at the time that he was hired. How can he prove it? They never said a word at the time he was hired. The answer is, Minig Oikar Alocha, since the Minig Amokam is that everybody works from 9 to 5, or whatever it is, 9 to 3, whatever field it happens to be. So that's considered Kilu Hisnu, so therefore you no longer apply the rule of Moitzah Machaber Olav Haraya. The Minig establishes what's the Umdana, and the Umdana is considered Kilu Hisnu. There was once a... The OU has a charter. They have a lot of bylaws there. So for quite a few years, the president of the OU was a lawyer. Julie Berman was a lawyer, and then Shelley Rudolph was a lawyer, and a whole bunch of them were lawyers. So on one occasion, a certain religious lawyer wanted to become the president of the OU. And he said that for the last 30 years, they've been violating all the bylaws that they have, and all the people who were elected to positions in the OU, everything was illegal. And he was going to pressure them, he was going to sue them in court, in the secular court, that they have to let him have a chance to become the president of the OU, which was in accordance with the bylaws. So they told me, you're not allowed to go to secular court, you have to go to the entire... So they had a shaila, whom are they going to trust? He didn't want to trust anybody, any Talmud Chacham they're going to pick. He was afraid to trust anyone he would pick, they were afraid to trust. So they decided they're going to both trust Dr. Lamb. So they came to Dr. Lamb, he should pass on the Din Torah. So Dr. Lamb discussed it with some of the Rabbeim. So that he found one of the Rabbeim, showed him there's a Tshuva and a Tzitz Eliezer, exactly the same thing. The Histadrut is a labor union in Eretz Yisrael for many years, from before, I think it's from before HaKamas HaMedina. Way before that, the Histadrut. So, and the Histadrut also has a charter and it has bylaws. And for years, they were violating all the bylaws about electing the president of the labor union. And someone said, according to the bylaws, he should have the right to become the president. They didn't want to let him. So they went for a din Torah. So the Tzitz Eliezer has a tshuva that since in the bylaws it says you have the right to change the laws. You just have to have a meeting and you have to have a certain percentage of the membership has to vote. You can change all the bylaws in the Constitution. It's not a din deraisa, it's not a din derabban. Whatever they would have a right to change it. Since for so many years they were not following the bylaws, so the minig establishes as kilu hisnu, as if they said in advance that we're not going to follow the bylaws, we're going to follow a different set of laws. So that's what Dr. Lamb paskened over here also. So that's based on these Gemaras. That's the Gemara over here. The Gemara has a discussion here. The last line on Vovam and Aleph, going over to Vovam and Beis, a fellow rents an apartment in a hotel, in a motel. How many rooms is he allowed to use? They have a room with a TV, they have a laundry room, they have places, the cubbies, they have places to leave things. How much can he use? So the Gemara says, B'mok Mishanaga, whatever the minig, whatever is self-understood. Bismana said, maybe everything is totally different. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be the same Bismana said. Some of these dinim of the Gemara depend on what the minhag hamakom is. Today the minhag hamakom is different, so it would be different. But it's clear that whatever is the minhag hamakom is considered kilu hisnu. Here in New York, they have a lot of batidinim who totally ignore dinah de malchusa. They only paskin based on halacha. And that's against what it says in Chosh Mishpat. It says, Beferish and Chosh Mishpat, if there's a person who deals in business with Jews and non-Jews, then it's considered kilu hisnu, as if he had said explicitly that even when he deals with the Jews, he wants to follow dinah de malchusa. So the bezdin, the Jewish bezdin, has to paskin according to dinah de malchusa. So a lot of the frum batidinim say only someone who would go to university would say such a psak. What do you mean? The Chazon Ish didn't go to university? He said that's what the Shach said. The Shach quotes it from the Balei HaTosfos. They didn't go to university. It's not an apikursoship psak. That's the din. Masna mas kosa batoira tenoi batel. Let's say a man marries a girl. And if he's going to die with not having any children, so then his wife will need chalitza. So she doesn't want to have to go through chalitza because his brother is a meshugah. She doesn't want to have an esek with the brother. So let's say he'll, this Shulchan Aruch gives this mashal. Man says, I am a kodesh esli ala tanai, that if I die leaving no descendants, you will not require chalitza. So that's exactly an example of that din. Masam akashim batara, tanai batla maisekam, the kedushin is chal, and if he dies leaving no children, she's still going to need chalitza. You can't make a tanai like that. Or let's say he's Mekadosh the woman, and he says on tonight that if they're not happily married at the end of the year, she shouldn't need a get. The marriage should disappear into thin air. So you can't, there is no such thing. That's Masa Mashagasa Matara. Tonight, Batla Maisikai. But Bedov Shebemaman, it's a Machlekes Hatanaim, Rab Meir, Rab Yuda. And we pass him like Rab Yuda. That Masa Mashagasa Matara, Bedov Shebemaman, Tonight Kai. You can't make a tonight like that. So whatever is the Minig Amokam is considered Kilo Hisnu, as if they had made it tonight. That's an important din. That's relevant for a lot of cases. What's the din of Cheskes Habatim Shalosh Shanim? That's if I claim that the house belongs to me, that I bought it from you, or the field, the farm belongs to me, I say that I bought it from you. What if I don't claim that the house belongs to me? We're neighbors, I have a swing for my little children, and the swing is held up by a pole, and the pole is resting on your building. The pole is resting on a building. If it's going to rest long enough, it's going to weaken the building. The whole building is going to collapse. So I say that I paid you money to have the right. I have this swing there for over a year. So I say I paid you the right to leave my pole, my beam on your building. And you gave me permission, so you sold me the rights, and I have the legal rights to, and you deny it. So that's what there's a comment in Rashi on Amud Aleph, it says, At Kan, so that's what Tosfos on Amud Beis says, that's really the Rashbam. It's not really Rashi. So there are Tosfos quotes, the Rashbam says, only time in Ida has Cheskes Habatim Shaloshonim is if you're going to claim that the field is yours and the house is yours. Because when you sell karka, the minhag of them is that you always write the shtar. So the fellow will usually hold on to the shtar for 3 years. After 3 years, not mukhif to hold on to the shtar. So if he can prove that he was living in the house or using the farm normally for 3 full years, so cheskes habatim shaloshan, and he claims that he bought the house, so then since Flashnim is Dairinish Bishtori. That's the first daf in Cheskes Habatim. People normally will hold on to the documents for 3 years. More than 3 years, not going to hold on. After the 3 years are up, there's no Reyes in his Taina. He says that I bought the house and I paid you all the money and it's my house. So that's Cheskes Habatim Shaloshonim. So it's normal to write a shtar if you're buying karka. But if I paid the fellow money to have the right for the next 25 years till all of my children will grow up. They're going to play on the swings. After they're going to grow up, they're going to get married. They're going to move somewhere else. Then I don't need the swings anymore. So I say, I paid him whatever, $25,000 to have the right to leave my pole for the swings for the next 25 years. $1,000 every year, and I paid for it. I have the right to. So then the Rashbam says, you don't need Cheskes Habatim Shaloshonim over there. You don't write shtaros on that. Noik Shaboilam, you write stories when you're selling real estate, when you sell karka. But if you're not selling karka, you're just paying the right to have your beam rest on the thing, then it's miyad. Then if he can prove that he was, that's called cheskas tashmishin. He can prove that he was using it with the knowledge of the next door neighbor. He wasn't hiding it. The next door neighbor knew that he was using it. So if he could bring witnesses who will testify that the next door neighbor knew that he was using it and he wasn't moicha, so that's cheskas tashmishin. And then we had a machlekes, Rashi against the Rambam based on the Gaonim. Does the cheskas tashmishim have to have a chazaka sheyeshim matayna, or even a chazaka sheyeshim matayna? On karka, there's no such thing as squatter's rights. Just because he was living there for 5 years and no one kicked him out, and the balabas knew about it and he didn't kick him out, there's no mechila in the bien. So that's not a cheska batma. You have to have a chazaka sheyeshim matayna. He has to claim, I bought the field from you and I made a legitimate kinyan and it's mine. But a chazaka sheni matayma, that's not valid. So Rashi holds the Rashbam here. Not only is that true benegiah to cheskas abatim, it's true benegiah to cheskas tashmishim as well. And the Rambam got it apparently from the Goinim. That's what the Magen Mishnah writes. The Rambam got it from the Tshuvas HaGoinim. That cheskas tashmishim, you don't need, that's what we spoke about yesterday, you don't need chazaka sheni matayma. The fact that he says the balabas knew about it and he wasn't makpid, he wasn't moicha, means that he was moicha. So you could be the mechila is chal on schusim. Mechila is not chal on a bien. If I claim the house belongs to me, so there's no mechila on a bien. But there is mechila on schusim. If somebody owes me money or he has the right to prevent me from trespassing in his backyard. And every day I walk through his backyard in order to go to shul, in order to go to yeshiva. And I say that he gave me permission. So that's a cheskas tashmishim. So the Rambam's opinion is a cheskas tashmishim. You don't even need a taina. And Rashi holds, no, you do need a taina. That's a shana halacha. How do you know there's no mechila on a bien? How do you know there's only mechila on schusim? So we said the source for that is the Gemara Kiddushin in the first parak. It says when you want to free an Eved Ivri is yotze lecheres al yedei shtar shichur. You write a shtar shichur and you give it to the Eved, he goes free. So the Gemara asks, what do you need a shtar shichur for? Lomali shtar. Let the Odon say in the presence of two witnesses who will be able to testify later on in court that he was Moichel. Let the Odon just tell the Eved, go, I hereby free you, go do whatever you want, I Moichel you. You don't have to work anymore. I bought the Eved, I have the right to use him to work for me for 6 years. His Nimka L'sheish. And then after 1 year, I say, I don't need him anymore, so I'm Moichel. Gemara asks, why do you need a shtar shichur? Why don't you just say zil? Why don't you just be machlim? Why says zos ameris? From the fact that the braisa says that you need a shtar shichur, you see the mechila doesn't work because Eved Ivri gufa konim. When you buy an Eved Ivri, it's not just the Eved is meshubed. You have the schus that he has to work for you. Whatever you ask him to do, he has to work for you for the next 6 years. No, you own, just like you own an Eved Knaini, and Eved Knaini, you own him kishore b'chamar. I own him completely. I have no right to kill him. He's a human being. I have to treat him decently because he's a human being. But I own him kishore b'chamari. And Eved Ivri, I only own him le'inyan malocha. Eved Knaini, I own legamri kishore b'chamari. Eved Ivri, I only own like the Rishonim have the Loshen, like their kalaperis. We spoke the other day, there's such a thing. I can't sell you the peris that are going to grow in Shnas Top Shin Pei Gimel. They didn't grow yet, but the trees are here already. So I can sell you ownership of the trees and sell you ownership of the farm with respect to the peris that will grow on Top Shin Pei Gimel. You can't make a kinyan on a Dovish Boli Olam, but you can. You do have the ability to make a kinyan on a Dovish Boli Olam with respect to a Dovish Boli Olam. If the with respect to his Boli Olam, that doesn't bother me. That's called Dekal Peris. I'll sell you the Dekal. The Dekal is a date tree. But I mean any tree. So I sell you a dekel with respect to the peiros. Dekel the peiros. So that's legitimate. So that's what the Rishonim, the Meiri, and other Rishonim say. An Eved Knaini, if you buy an Eved Knaini, you own the Eved Knaini. Gemara has a Loshen, Kishore Bacham, you own him completely. Eved Ivri is an ownership. I own him with respect to the fact that he's Mukhiv to do work for me for the next 6 years. But it's not just Mukhiv to do work for me. It's just Mukhiv. I can be Moichel the Schutz. It's more than Mukhiv. Eved Ivri Gufa Kani. So therefore, there's no mechila on a bien. That's how Tosis learns the Gemara. There's no mechila on a bien. Where else the Gemara have the no mechila on a bien? So you have sometimes people, let's say a man loses his spouse when he's 80 years old, and the woman loses her husband when she's 75 years old. And they don't want to live alone, so they want to get married together. But usually the din is habayor eshes ishtoi. So the woman, let's say, has a lot of money, but she has children from the first husband. She's not going to have children from the second husband. She's 75 years old. So when she dies, she doesn't want her Yerusha to go to the husband. She'll only be married to him for 10, 20 years or something. How long are they going to live together? They want a little companionship, that's all. So a lot of times a woman would want to make a prenuptial agreement that in the event that she dies before the husband should not yarshin her Yerusha. The normal din is that when a woman is married and she dies, her Yerusha goes to the husband. It doesn't go to her children. It goes to the husband. That's a machlekes hatanaim and a machlekes the Rambam and the Ravid, whether that is a din deraisa, a din derabbanan. It's later on in Yesh Nechlin. With Abal Yerush his ishta, it's a din deraisa, a din derabbanan. The Rambam paskens, like that Tan, Abal Yerush his ishta is only mid derabbanan. And the Ravid disagrees. He thinks that we should paskan Abal Yerush his ishta is deraisa. But whatever it is, even if it's only mid derabbanan, how does a takana derabbanan? What's the mechanics? How does the takana derabbanan function in the area of dini mamonis? The Gemara says it's always based on hefker bez nehefker. So hefker bez nehefker works min haTorah. So whether it's a din min haTorah or the chachamim employ the principle of hefker bez nehefker, at the end of the day, it's going to be a din min haTorah. Habal yorosh hasishta, he gets the irush. So is there any difference halacha lemaisa whether habal yorosh hasishta is a din deraisa, din derabbanan? Bottom line, it works because of hefker bez nehefker. So bite that, it's a din is that it works. So the Gemara has two differences. So one difference is, if HaBal Yerush HaSishta is a din of Yerusha, it's a din minatar of Yerusha, then if the husband gets the Yerusha from the wife, when it comes Shnas HaYovel, he doesn't have to give it back to the family. Yerusha is Yerusha. Yerusha, you keep it. You don't have to give it away when it comes Yovel. But if HaBal Yerush HaSishta only works because of Hefke Bez Nehefke, the Meida Takana, that the husband is mechuyev in refuas ishtoi, has to take care of different things. He's mechuyev l'kdoisa, in case she'll be kidnapped. So he has to redeem her from the kidnappers to bring her back to civilization. So in exchange for that, that Abal is mechuyev in refuas ishtoi, Abal is mechuyev l'kdoisa, so he made a takana that the husband has a right to get the Yerush. Everything in marriage is zetach hazeh. There are reciprocal obligations between the husband and the wife, in both directions. That's what reciprocity means, in both directions. So that's why that's why the Gemara and Pchorvus, and the Pchorvus around Daf Nun, Gemara considers it like a mecher. The fact that if you hold Abal Yerush HaSishta is only with the Rabbanon, and it's based on Hefker Bez Nehefker, it's not that they were mafgir and the husband is Zeichem and Hefker. It's considered like a mecher. What's Taka the Din? In the Chumash it says, if I buy, someone has a field in Eretz Yisrael, the dinim that when it comes Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, you have to give back the real estate, only applies in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara has a lashon. Karkan chutz lo'aretz is kimetaltalim. It doesn't mean it's kimetaltalim. The Einish bayim ala karkoes doesn't apply in chutz lo'aretz. The Torah quotes such a funny opinion from the Goyim. Einish bayim ala karkoes only applies in Eretz Yisrael. But karka shebchutz lo'aretz dini kimetaltalim. So the Torah says it's a joke. That's not what it means. It means benegeh to hachzara sadis lebailim biyovel. If it's a stei achuza and he sold it to me in Eretz Yisrael, then when it comes Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, it goes back to revert back to become a stei achuza. But if it's chutz lo'aretz, there's no institution of stei achuza. There's no such thing. Eretz Yisrael was in schalka l'shvatim, in schalka l'mishpachas, in schalka l'yechidim. So there's such a chal Hashem stei achuza. And chutz lo'aretz, no such thing. That's what it means. Karka shebchutz lo'aretz is kimital kalim damim, and it get to giving it back. So on the chumash, it only has a din. You give back the fields, Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, when it comes to Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, if he sold me the field, what if he gave me the field b'matana? Doesn't say b'feirish in the Chumash. What's the din? Whether matana kemecher, if the one who owned the field originally, it was a stei achuza by him, he got a birusha from his grandfather, great-grandfather, all the way back to the days of Yeshua ben Nun, and now he sells it to me. So if he sells it to me, he gets it back when it comes Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. That's a chumash. If he gives it to me, matana, it's not beferish. So that's a machlokes hatanaim. Rab Meir and the Chachamim, whether matana kemecher, matana is lav kemecher. We pass matana is kemecher. Just like a mecher is choyze b'yoyvel, that's in the chumash, so to a matana. If the original owner who had it as a steachuza gives it to me b'matana, when it comes to him, kippah shal yoyvel, I have to give it back. The Gemara never discusses what's the din if the original owner who has the field in Eretz Yisrael as a steachuza, what if he's mafkerit? He didn't give it to me b'matana, he didn't give it specifically to me, he was mafkerit, and then he put up the sign, this field is hefken, I will call akadim zocha. I went and I was zeichem and a hefker. So did that field also go back? But Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, and it reverts back to become a steachuza. Maybe it's only matonic and mecha, because mecha you're selling and matonic, you're makne. But if you're mafke, man, it doesn't go back. So it's strange. That was until the early 1900s, somehow was never discussed. So they write that this was a machlekes, Rabchai Moizim and other gedolim. What's the din der aisa? Shalana din der aisa. If someone is mafke, the sod and Eretz Yisrael, when it comes to Yom Kippur Shel Yovel, does he get it back? So here the Gemara says in Bechoris, there in Daf Nun Aleph, and towards the end of Bechoris, that if Abba Yerusha is Tishta, is a din menator, then it's a din of Yerusha. So Yerusha is Chozeres B'Yovel. Yerusha is Ena Chozeres B'Yovel. Then the husband keeps it, and his children will keep it. It won't go back to the wife's family. But if Abba Yerusha is Tishta, is only a din of the Rabbanan, because, and it's based on the mechanism, is a hefker bez na hefker, but it's a zet tachazet. So then the Gemara says, we don't treat it like matana, we treat it like mecher, because since he gave her an obligation in exchange for which she gave him a schus, she gives him the schus yerusha, because he is obligated bit pidyoina, he has to be paidar in case he'll be kidnapped by pirates. So the Gemara said, that's one nafkamina ledina. What Abba Yerusha Shishta is the Raisa the Rabbanon. If it's a din the Raisa, it's midin Yerusha, and Yerusha is not Chozeres B'Yoyvel. But if it's midin hefker bez nehefker, so then I treat it like a mecher, and then it will be Chozer B'Yoyvel. That's one nafkamina. Then the Gemara has another nafkamina. What if the husband says, before he, let's say it's a second marriage, and the wife has a lot of children, grandchildren from the first marriage, and she has a lot of assets, and she doesn't want to give the assets to the second husband. She's only going to be married to him for a couple of years. She's 75 years old already. He's 80 years old. They're not going to live forever. So she wants to have some kind of a prenuptial agreement that the husband should not yarshin. So the Gemara says, can you do that? Can the husband be moichel on his chus yerusha? So the Gemara says, yes. The Gemara says yes. If Abba Yerusha Shishta is a din deraisa, then you can't make an agreement like that. Let's say I make a statement. Let's say when my father passed away, so I got the Yerusha, whether I like it or not. Yerusha is even Bal Korcha Shel Adam. It doesn't matter whether you want it or you don't want it. The only thing that's not Bal Korcha is the Pishnaim. The Bechor doesn't get Pishnaim if he doesn't want. The Gemara says, why? Because it says, Los is Lo Pishnaim. Matane kai rachmana, just like matane, if you don't want it, you can't force the person to take it. So you can't force him to take the pishnayim. But the Yerusha, he gets bal korchei, even if he doesn't want it. If he doesn't want to have it, he has to be mafkerit. But he can't just say, I don't want it, and I'm moichel the schus. It's not a schus Yerusha. Kozmana belongs to the parents, or belongs to the rich uncle. I happen to have had an uncle who died. He was in the American Army. He was in the Second World War. And he was injured because of the war. So he was in and out of veteran hospitals for years. And when he died, he never got married. He wasn't healthy. And then when he died, he left a couple of $1,000 in his bank account that he had from the veterans' rights. So one of my aunts, his sister, was the executrix of the will. And she was dividing all the money among all of the Yorshin. Shaloi Kedin, she didn't divide it properly. But they did make such a big nafkamina. $25 here, $25 there. There was hardly any money there anyway. So it wasn't so relevant. So the din is, I can't make a statement in advance. I'm moichel de schus Yerusha. No such thing as schus Yerusha. The Gemara uses the lashon in Erevin, bro kara davua. It's not that whenever I sell something, or whenever I give him a tana, so or whenever I mapke something and someone else takes it, so the bailus of the Marakama is terminated, then the Marabasra acquires a new bailus, Mikan al-Habo. when you have Yerusha, it's not that the bailus of the Marakam is poka, and now starts a new bailus. The same bailus remains. That's the Gemara's Lashon at the end of Bava Kamma is that Rishus Yerush Lav Kirishus Lakech Domi. It's not like a Lakech, not like one who buys something, that the bailus of the Marakama terminates and now the Mara Basra has a new bailus. Yerusha is brought Karadavua, the Yerush takes the place of the Marish, the original Kenyan is still there, still intact. That's not called, let's say, when you need Yerush Vishini Rishus for Ganav to be Koina. So if the Ganav sells it to someone else, that's called Sheni Vishus. But if the Ganav dies and it goes Birusha to his children, that's not called Sheni Vishus. That's what Gemara says, Vishus Yorish is Lav Kivishus Lekeach Dami. So it's not that the Yorish has a schus during the lifetime of the Morish, and my uncle was alive and my parents were alive, I had a schus that I have the right to Yarshan for my parents. There is no schus. Calls man, the Morish is alive, the Nechasim belong to the Morish. Minute he dies, so the Yorish takes over. There's no room for any mechila over there. But the Gemara says, if you hold that, so if Habal Yorish is Hishtah, a din deraisa, the Gemara says, you can't make any prenuptial agreements that you don't want to get the Yerusha. Yerusha, you get Bal Korcho Shalodim, even if you don't want it. If you don't like it, you have the Brera to be mafkirit. But you can't just say, I want to be Mesalik myself, I want to be Moichel the Schus Yerusha. It's not a Schus Yerusha, it's a din. You take over the Yerusha. But if Abal Yerusha Shishta is only Midirabbanon, that's according to the Rambam, it's only Midirabbanon, then the Gemara says, the Gemara has a Losh, Nachal Habal lo Adam Mimokam Acher. Nachla means a Yerusha. Nachal Habal lo Mimokam Acher, from left field. Well, what's from left field? Midirabbanon. A Nachla, that's in Chumash, that's where it belongs. Nachal Habal Mimokam Acher means Abal Yerusha Shishta is only the Rabbanon. So then it's only based on a Takona the Rabbanon. So then the Gemara says, Oda Masna Leo Shelo Yerashena. If he'll make a prenuptial agreement, he'll tell the wife in advance of marrying her, I'm Mevate this Chus Yerusha, then it works. So the Gemara says, how does it work? If they just got engaged, they didn't get married yet. So there's no Chus. So the Chus Yerusha is a Dovah Shel Bal Yadam, doesn't exist yet. If he already got married, they already had Erisin and Nisuin, then we say, Yodo Ki Yodo. That's an expression that the Gemara has. Machlokes is Abaye v'Rava about the details of this, where they say Yodo Ki Yodo or Yodo Adifa Mi Yodo. We say that the Nichse Ishto, that a Nichse Malug, that if and when the wife dies, he'll Yarshin it. It's considered as if even before the wife dies, the husband has a schus that Likish Etamus, he'll get this. He's Oichal Peres Nichse Malug, that's a Takana de Rabban. Peres Nichse Malug is only the Rabban, it's not Minat Torah. So the Chachamim said, he's Oichal Peres Nichse Malug, and he has a schus that if she'll die, he'll get the Yerusha. So the Gemara says, that schus is only in between Erisin and Nisuin. If it's before Erisin, and the husband says, I'm Moichel the right to Yerusha, he doesn't even have the Yerusha. They're just engaged. The schus Yerusha is a Dovash Labali Olam. And if they already have Nisuin, there are two parts to the wedding ceremony. This week is Parshas Chayisora, so people, that's why they have signs up that Rabbi Goldberg every year speaks about how to get married. On Parshas Chayisora, Chayisora is the Jewish marriage. It's not the way we do today. We don't send an Eved to pick a Shidduch, but that was the original Jewish marriage in the Chumash, is when Avram Avinu sent Eliezer Avram to pick a Shidduch for Yitzchak. So that's why traditionally people give drushes about marriage on Parshas Chayisora. So before there are two parts to the marriage. There's Eris and Nisu in the days of the Gemara, days of Tanakh. To the days of the Goyim, there would be a long wait of 12 months in between the Erisin and Nisuin. Erisin is what we call Kiddushin, that's Maseches Kiddushin. And Nisuin is what we call Chuppah, and that's Maseches Ksubis, is all about the Chuppah. So so before Erisin, when they're just engaged, before Erisin, and modern Hebrew, Erisin means you're getting engaged, but Alpidin, Erisin means Kiddushin. He gave a ring, said, Hariyah Mukudeshus Li, she's an Eshesir, she's mamish married to him. So before Erisin, there isn't even a Schus Yerusha. The whole Schus Yerusha is a Dovah Shel Bal Yadam. After Nisuin, it's already too late, the Gemara says, that the husband should have the ability to be Mechel the Schus Yerusha, because we say, Yodo ki Yodo, or Yodo Adifa mi Yodo, as detail, Machlokes Abaye v'Rava, bottom line, what it means is that it's considered as if the husband, even though the wife is still alive, she didn't die yet, it's considered as if he already owns the bien, and there's no mechila on a bien. He can only have mechila on a schus. So at which point is it a schus yerusha? During erusin. Because if the wife died during erusin, the husband does not yarshin. Ishtarusa lo onen alo, v'la mitam alo, v'la meifin nedareho. He doesn't yarshin. When the wife dies during erusin, if the husband is a kohen, is not mitame, only mitame liish, then is suah. And if she dies, he doesn't get the yerusha. So during erusin, they are married, there's kiddushin, but there's not nisuin yet. You only say bal kishta ishta kigufay after nisuin. During erusin, you don't say bal kishta, you don't say ishta kigufay. They're related, but it's not bal kishta ishta kigufay. So that's what the Gemara says. They have the ability to be moichel. The husband has the ability to be moichel on zchus yerusha in between erusin and nisuin. Today, some people do it like that. Some people, when they're marrying and they know they're not going to have any children, they're already older people, and the woman doesn't want her yerusha to go to the second husband. She wants it to go to her children from the first husband. So then, during erusin, the husband practices. The husband fills out a document, and it says in the document he's moichel on the zchus yerusha, and he gives it to her under the chuppah after they say the birchas eruv and say they take a sip of the wine. They say Arev mekudeshesli. So before they read the ksuba, so the husband gives the wife. It's not nice to talk about yerusha under the chuppah. They hope everyone should live up Mary Esim Shana. But he tells her in advance he's going to give her an envelope that has this document in it. Under the chuppah, in between erusin and nisuin. We assume that nisuin didn't take effect, even though they're standing under the canopy. So that's already the nisuin. So we assume until you say the sheva brachas, they don't have a mind that should constitute the nisuin. So you have 2 minutes. The chosin has 2 minutes, during which time he has the ability to give this document to the girl, that he says he's moichel on the zchus yerusha. So the Gemara says, you can only be moichel if Yerusha's Habal is the Rabbanon. If Yerusha's Habal is a din deraisa, it's not a schus. It's a din Yerusha. You can't be moichel Yerusha. If the nephew doesn't want a yarshin from the uncle, there's no way to be misalik yourself and Yerusha. Only the Pishnaim says Losislo. That he can say, I don't want the Pishnaim. But other Yerusha, you can't be misalik yourself. So the Gemara seems to say explicitly, if Habal Yerusha is Ishtay, with a bit of din deraisa, like the Ravid Paskins, then the husband will not be able to be Masalik himself. But if it's only a Din Rabbana, like the Ramam says, then the Gemara calls Nachla Habola Lo'odam Mimokam Acher. A Rusha that comes from a left field, from a different, but what do you mean from a left field? A Takona de Rabbana Habal Yerushas Yishtah. So then, Odam Asalel Shalo Yerushanan. Then he could be Moichel the Schus. And that's only during Erusin. Before Erusin, the Schus is a Dovish Labolium. He can't be Moichel. And after Nisun, it's not considered a schus. After Nisun, it's considered a bien. Yodiki does, if he already owns the bien, and there's no mechila on a bien. Can't be mochel. But during Erisin, he has a schus to likishatinose lo, likishatamus, then he'll get the Yerusha. That's considered a schus. He can be mochel on the schus. Yeah. So those are the Gemara that there's no mechila on a bien. We said the Ramban has a totally different pshat than that Gemara. That's how Tosfos learns the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Tezayin. With the Gemara quoted a Braisa that how do you free an Eved Ivri? You can free the Eved Ivri by giving him a Shtar Shichur. So the Gemara raised the question, what do you need a Shtar Shichur? Just say you're Meichel. Why not say Mechila? The Gemara answers, no, so Samer is Eved Ivri Gufo Konoi. But the Ramban learned a whole different pshat in the Gemara. Ramban learned a whole different pshat. The question wasn't, why can't he be Meichel? It was a totally different question. The question was, the din is, if I own an Eved Knaini, so you could be Mafka the Eved Knaini. You own an Eved Knaini like you own Kishore B'chamoro. So if you're Mafka and Eved Knaini, what's the din? I'm Mafka Avda Yotzel Echeres. The Eved is Hefker. Just like if I'm Mafka my jacket, I'm Mafka my Gemara, I'm Mafka my apartment, I'm Mafka my Svarim, whatever. So Hefker is Chal. So the Ramban raises a funny question. Let's say a husband is married and he's mafkir his wife. So he says, no, the husband has what he calls a kinyan iser on the wife. Doesn't have a kinyan moment. Has a kinyan iser on the wife. That's a big question whether that's correct or not. In Achrayim, that's Yadua, that's a machlokes, the Pnei Yeshua and the Avdim Miluim. Avne Miluim is by the author of Diktzos HaChoshim, by Diktzos HaChoshim, Zan Choshim Mishpat, Avne Miluim and Shulchan Aruch Ebenezer. So the Pnei Yeshua assumes that when a girl gets married, it's as if she sold herself to the husband, as if the husband has a kinyan isa on the wife. And Avne Miluim makes fun of it, and he thinks it's against Gemara, that it's not correct. The husband doesn't have any kinyan, no kinyan mamon. He certainly doesn't have a kinyan mamon on the wife, but he doesn't even have a kinyan isa. There's a marriage, it's a relationship, they're married, but it's not that he has a kinyan. She's called kinyan kaspo, koyin ki kenefesh kinyan kaspo. Kinyan kaspo because he was mekadosh b'kesef, not because he has a kinyan mamon on the wife. So the Ramban says, the Ramban seems to be assuming that there is a kinyan isa, like the Pnei Yeshua. There is a kinyan, a husband has a kinyan isa on his wife. So the Ramban says, if the husband says he's mafke his wife, she's not allowed to go marry someone else, because a kinyan isa doesn't, hefke doesn't work on a kinyan isa. Hefke only works on a kinyan moment. So let's say I own an Ebet Kenayni. So when you own an Ebet Kenayni, you have a double kinyan. That's also yadua from the Avne Meluim, but not the Avne Meluim is Simen by Simen on Shulchan Aruch Ebenezer. Then at the end of the volume, they have Shailas HaTshuvas, Avne Meluim. So two or three of them are real Shailas that came up during his lifetime, and most of them are just essays, like the Shagas Aryeh. Shagas Aryeh, they're not Shailas that people ask. When is Osman Kriyashma? Where the Kriyashma is the Raisa Rabban, nobody asked him the Shailas. They were essays. So most of the Shailas HaTshuvas of the Avne Meluim are essays on various halachas and various topics in halacha. And two or three of them are real tshuvas, like Shailas that came up halacha l'mais. So the Avne Miluim has this famous essay where he talks about kinyan mamon, kinyan isa. So if you own an Ebet Kenayni, you have a double kinyan. You have a kinyan mamon, you own the Ebet Kenayni, kishor b'chamor. You have no right to kill him because he's a human being. You have no right to kill an animal either unless you want to eat the flesh. Unless you want to feed it to a goy, okay, unless, whatever, you want to use the fur, you want to make a fur coat, but otherwise you have no right to kill the animal either. So you have no right to kill an Ebekinani. You own the Ebekinani, Kishor Vachamara, but he's a human being, so you have to treat him accordingly. So when a person has an Ebekinani, he has a double kinyan, he has a kinyan moment, Kishor Vachamara, then he has a kinyan Isa. What's the relevance of saying that there's a kinyan Isa? So the Gemara has a if I own an Eved Kenayni, he cannot become a Muna on a Korban Pesach without my authorization. Let's say he's my Eved Kenayni, he's friendly with the next door neighbor, and he wants to eat Korban Pesach with the next door neighbor in Yerushalayim. So he has no right to become a Muna on a Korban Pesach without my explicit authorization. I have to give him permission. If I don't give permission, he can't. So that's based on the Kinyanis. What's another Nafkamina in the Kinyan Isa? So the Ramban says the Eved Kenayni Eved Kenayni Shal Koyin is Echel B'Truma. If the Eved Kenayni belongs to the Koyin, is allowed to eat Truma. So this means that in the area of Isa the Heter, the fact that he has an Odon is relevant. The Odon is a Koyin, so the Eved Kenayni Shal Koyin is permitted to eat Truma. So that's if you have an Eved Kenayni. So there's both a Kinyan Mamon and a Kinyan Isa. So let's say a person owns an Eved Kenayni, then he's Mafker the Eved Kenayni. So what's the din? So Mafker Avdo, if you're Mafker, it's a Gemara and Gitna, Mafker Eved Kenayni, Yotze Lecheres. The Eved doesn't have to work anymore because the Od don't feed him. Does he need a Shtar Shichur in order to be Mutter b'Yisraelis? Or do you say no? Once the Kinyan Mamon is gone, so the Kinyan Isa disappears into thin air also. So that's a machlekes Rav Shmuel. And we pass on the halacha that it's split. He's not muta b'shivcha k'nainis till he has the shtar shichra. If I sell an Eved Kenayni to someone else, the kinyonim that work to sell an Eved Kenayni to someone else work on the kinyan mamon, and then the kinyanisa tags along. If he's a kohen, if the new odon is a kohen, the Eved will be allowed to eat truma. If I'm a kohen, the new one is not a kohen, he will not be allowed to eat truma. And if he wants to become a Muna on the Korban Pesach, he has to get authorization from the new Adon. Because whenever I sell the Kinyan Mamon, so the Kinyan Isa tags along. But if I was Mapka the Kinyan Mamon, they say, Mapka the Kinyan Mamon, you can't make Hefker on the Kinyan Isa. But if you're Mapka the Kinyan Mamon, maybe I should say, since there's no Kinyan Mamon to speak of at all, maybe the Kinyan Isa disappears on its own. So that's a machlokes Rav Shmuel. So we paskin, it does not disappear. Amafka avda yotze lecheres, if yamafka devet knaini, he goes free. Hepka vizchala nikin yamama. However, tzor get shichur, in order to be muta b'shivcha knaini, in order to be muta b'israelis, the hepka knaini is going to need ishtar shichur, because the hepka is only chala nikin yamama, not chala nikin yamisa. So what's the din if I have an evit ivri, and I'm mafka the evit ivri? So mafka the evit ivri, so the nikin yamama becomes hepka. So I don't have the right to ask him to do any more work for me. I was mafka him. What about the Kenyan Issa? What about the Kenyan Issa? So that's what the Ramban interprets in the Gemara. The Gemara asked the question, that Gemara in Kiddushin, the Gemara asked, when you have an Eved Ivri, you want to set him free, so the Brisa says you give him a Shtar Shichur. So the Gemara asked, why do you need a Shtar Shichur? Why don't you just say, Zil, goodbye. What do you mean, Zil? And therefore what? So Taisus understood, you should be Moichel, the services of the Eved owes me 6 years worth of service. I bought him, I have the right to keep him for Sheish. So the Gemara thought that was a schus. So the Gemara says, so why can't you just be Moichel the schus? The Gemara said, not just the schus. Eved Ivri Gufa Kone. It's a bailus, a mechila isn't chal on a bien. That's how Taisus read the Gemara. But the Ramban didn't read the Gemara like that at all. The Ramban read the Gemara that they were asking, Lemelei Bapitre Zil, why shouldn't it be Mafker? Why do you need Ishtar Shichur? Just say orally. Well, you have to be matriach to write on a piece of paper, I hereby free you and you have a right to marry a Jewish girl. Why don't you just say, I'm Mafker the Eved, the Mafker the Eved Ivri and Shoy? So the Gemara says, O Samer is Eved Ivri Gufa Koni. What it means is that just like by Eved Knaini, there's a double Kenyan. There's both a Kenyan Mom and a Kenyan Issa. So to by Eved Ivri, there's also a double Kenyan. That's what the Ramban says. Tosis says there ain't no such thing. Tosis on the first daf in Perika Oral, daf ayin on the base, Yevamos. The Perik begins daf ayin on the Aleph, so that's Perika Oral. So Tosis writes on the first daf, on an Eved Ivri, there's only a Kenyan Mom and there's no Kenyan Issa. There's no Kenyan Issa. The Gemara said the Eved Ivri is a free man. He can choose whichever Korban Pesach he wants. He doesn't need the authorization of the Yodon. And the Eved Ivri shall coin is not Eichel B'Truma. The question is, but the Eved Ivri is Muta B'Shivcha Kleinis. So does that indicate that there is a Kenyan Issa? So Tosis explains that away. No, it's not true. There's no Kenyan Issa. And the Ramban says, no, the fact that Eved Ivri is Muta B'Shivcha Kleinis shows that there is a Kenyan Issa. There's no Kenyan Issa like there is by Eved Knaini, that he can't become a Mun on a Korban Pesach without authorization from his Odon. And if he's an Eved Knaini, Shal Koin is Echol B'Truma. That you don't have. Eved Ivri Shal Koin is not Echol B'Truma. But there is a Kenyan Issa. The Ramban holds, there is a Kenyan Issa by an Eved Ivri with respect to the fact that he's Muta B'Shivcha Knaini. And Tosfos said that doesn't prove anything. He's Muta B'Shivcha Knaini, that's in the line of duty. That's the Shara Melech raises a question. When we say Eved Ivri is Muta B'Shivcha Knaines, means only if Rabba Moshe lo Shivcha Knaines. The Odom wants him to have babies. He wants to have lodas from the Shivcha Knaines. So on the line of duty, a line of services to the Odom, the Eved is Mukhiev to try to have babies with the Shivcha Knaines. Let's say on his own. The Odom doesn't want the Eved to live with the Shivcha Knaines. The Eved on his own. He wants to be with the Shivcha Knaines. Is that permissible? So the Shara Melech is a sefer on the Rambam by one of the big Sephardish Gedolim. So the Shara Melech writes he's not sure. So in the later generation they say, what do you mean you're not sure? It's Beferish Machlok, it's Tosfos and the Ramban. Ramban says that there's a Kenyan Iser and an Eved Ivri when he gets to what? He's Muta B'Shivcha Knaines. And Tosfos says, and he writes, he's Muta on his own B'Shivcha Knaines. Not only for Abba Mosolo. And Tosfos says, no, there's no Kenyan Issa. Aye, but he's Muta B'Shivcha Knaines. Tosfos says, no, that's in the line of duty. He's Mukhiv to work for the Yodon, and the Yodon has a right. It says in the Chumash, after 6 years, when you free the Eved Ivri, you should give him Hanukkah. Hanek Tanek Lo Mitzanuch HaMikonuch HaMikvech. You give Hanukkah. Why do you have to give Hanukkah? Because Ki Mishnes Chasoch HaRabotcha. He worked twice as hard as an employee. An employee, so Rashi HaChumash quotes from the Tanoim. An employee only works by Yom, he doesn't have to work by Laila. And Eved Ivri is over Ben by Yom and Ben by Laila. What do you mean? He works 24 hours a day. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara. He works by Laila. If Rabba Moshe lo Shivcha Knaines, the Odom wants him to put in a full day's work around the house to work for him like an Eved Ivri, And then he wants to have lodis from the Shivcha Knainis. So the Odom has the right to insist that the Eved should be with the Shivcha Knainis for the person having lodis. But on his own, the Eved is also the Shivcha Knainis. That's what Tosfos says. It's only Mutter B'Shivcha Knainis in the line of duty if the Odom wants him to. And the Ramban says not so. So that's the mocker of this whole concept that everybody says. There's no mechila to be in. You can only be moichel schusim. You can, somebody owes me money, I can be moichel. Or I have, let's say, I have property, so I have the right to insist no one should trespass on my property. So I can be moichel, that's schus. I own property. So shol shalom midas is a gazlan. You're going to sit down on my chair, that's gzela. Or you're going to, I have food on the table. You're going to go to the refrigerator and take out some food or eat some cookies, that's gzela. But if I give you permission, then there's no gzela. So I have a right to be moichel on the yisig gzela. It's a schus that I have. No one has a right to take my things. It's an yisig gezel. If I'm moichel, so then there's no yisig gezel. So that's what we assume. There's only mechila on a schus. There's no mechila on a bien. So the one mocker is that gemara in Kiddush and Daf Tezayin. Tosfos learned that's what it meant. So some is Abedivri, Gufo Konoi. You can't be moichel the services that the Abedivri owes you in the next 6 years. It's not only services that he owes me. I own the Abedivri for Sheish. I don't own him like Shori Bachamori, like an Ebekanan. I own him like Dekala Paris. I only own him with respect to the fact that he's Muchiv to do work for me for the next 6 years. But still, I own him. So it's a Bailus of the Bien. So Bailus of the Bien does not lend itself to Mechila. That's the one Gemara. And even though the Ramban interpreted the whole Gemara differently, it wasn't talking about Mechila, it was talking about Hefker. Ramban had a whole Lemalei Bapi Trezil. Why not be just be Mapke the Ebed? So, but still, the other Gemara says, when the woman wants to have a prenuptial agreement, the husband should not yarshin her. So the Gemara says, it only works if Abba Yorosh and Sishta is only the Rabbanon. If it's the Raisa, you can't be Moichel. It's Brokar Davoy. You get the Yerusha Bal Korchacha. No, you can't be Moichel. Once you get the Yerusha, you can be Mafkarit. But you can't say, I'm Moichel, I don't want his chus, and let all the other children get the Yerusha. No such thing as being Moichel. After the, let's say, one of the children is very wealthy, and they don't want to take any money from the Yerusha. So if they want, they can tell all the other children, divide, instead of dividing it into 9 portions, give me 1 portion, divide it into 8 portions, I don't need. So they can give matonis to the others, but they can't just say, I'm misalik myself. No such thing as being misalik. You can give it to the others. Yeah, so the Gemara says that habal yarish esishta, if it's only the Rabbanan, then it's a schus, and then it lends itself to mechila, but that's only if he's meichel during erisin. If he's moichel after nisuin, then he say yodo ki yodo. I treat it as if the karka nichsa mulug already belongs to the husband, and there's no mechila on a bien. He can't be moichel a bien. Yeah. So again, the two different topics here. Cheskes habatim shalashonim is the third pack. This is cheskes tashmishim. Cheskes tashmishim. You don't need 3 years. The Gemara says, Miyad havi chazoka. On Vav HaMevei, the Gemara says, right away it'll be a chazok. If he put his beam on the neighbor's building and he put cement on, if he cements it down and the neighbor is watching and he doesn't tell him anything, so that's an indication that his taina is correct. He says, I paid him money and he gave me permission to cement down the beam on top of his house. So the Gemara beferish miyat habich hazoka. Rashi and the Rashbam hold that you do need, however, a hazoka sheishim a taina, and the Rambam and the Goyim hold you don't even need a taina. Yeah, what does the Gemara say? Something about leaning a beam on the next door neighbor's house or the next door neighbor's wall? Hakshur de metalalta, a beam. What does it mean? So Pasha Pshat is, if I lean a beam on my next door neighbor's wall or next door neighbor's house for less than 30 days just because the next door neighbor knew about it and it wasn't makbid, it doesn't mean, it's not an indication, cannot be taken as an indication that he's allowing me to do it to the Olam Vod. That's not a chazoka. But if I leave the beam leaning on his building, leaning on his wall, for more than 30 days, then it's a cheskes tashmishim. That's how Rashi learns. And the Rabbeinu Tam learns a whole different pshat. Question is, does it really fit into the Gemara? Rabbeinu Tam learns a whole totally different pshat. That the question is, that the next door neighbor built a wall in between my chutz and his chutz, and I was mochiv to chip in. And then I claimed that I did pay my share. He says, you never paid me. And I say that I did pay. So by Pidyon HaBen, the Gemara quoted the Mishnah from Perek Yesh Pchor, from Pchoris, that if the father died, father, the baby died before the 31st day. So it's Beches Kashaloi Nosan. We have the right to assume the father probably did not do Pidyon HaBen within the 30 day. Which Meshugana does Pidyon HaBen in the 30 day? You can't say a bracha then. You only say a bracha if you do it. Let's say the 31st day turns out on Shabbos. So we have a minig. In Shulchan Aruch, they quoted from the Marik, I think. Marik, the Chumash Hadesh, I think it's the Marik, that you're not allowed to do Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos and Yom Tov. It's questionable whether that's correct or not, but that's the way it's in Shulchan Aruch. The Marik says you're not allowed to do Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So can you do Pidyon HaBen on Erev Shabbos? So it says no. The Marik says if you're going to do it on Erev Shabbos, he can't say the Bracha. So he has no choice. He has to do the Pidyon HaBen after Shabbos is over. That's why they quote in Shulchan Aruch. So it's not normal that a person should do Pidyon HaBen within 30 days. If he's going to do it within 30 days, he's going to lose out on the bracha. You don't say a bracha. If you're going to do the Pidyon HaBen, if the Yom Laman Alv is on Shabbos, he's going to do it before Shabbos. He can't say a bracha. So that's why people are not going to do that. They're the same over here. Let's say we were discussing one neighbor wanted to have a wall separated. I don't need the whole wall. He insists he wants a wall. So the halacha says I have to chip in my half. I have to pay for half of the expenses of the wall. I have to give half of the ground space where the wall is going to be taking up space. So if I claim within 30 days of his putting up the wall, I claim that I paid him. So the Gemara says, it's loy havi chazoka. Atlas and yoimen loy havi chazoka. Just like by Pidyon HaBen, it's highly unlikely that he did the Pidyon HaBen in the middle of the 30 days. So to over here, the first 30 days, we assume he probably didn't pay yet. So if he's going to taina, I paid my share of the wall, he has no nemonis. But if after 30 days, and he claims that I paid my share of the wall, then he is nemon. And then it's becheskas that he did pay. That's how the Rabbeinu Tam reads. And Rashi has a totally different pshat. Rashi learns a discussion, a totally different pshat. I mean, they're back next to the Rosh. Yadagos Ashri. So he says, the Ozura quotes the two pshatim, Kerachak Mizrach Memaya. Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam are so different over here. Rabbeinu Tam says it's discussing, is it becheskas that he paid or not becheskas that he paid? So for the first 30 days after he finished putting up the wall, it's becheskas that the neighbor didn't pay him yet. After 30 days, becheskas that he did pay. And Rashi has a totally different pshat. It's talking about cheskas tashmishim, not paying for the wall. Cheskas tashmishim. So cheskas tashmishim, you don't need gimel shanim. But how long do you have to have it? So he says, if I just lean the beam on your wall or your building for a day or two, and you didn't say anything, that's not necessarily an indication that he has a chazokah, that the neighbor is not, by not complaining, the neighbor is demonstrating that the neighbor had the right to lean on his wall or lean on his building. But so if he's only using it for 1 or 2 days, it's not a riot. But if he uses it for more than 30 days, lachat basa plus in Yemen, have a chazokah, then it's a cheskas tashmish. Totally different mishan. Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, a totally different mishan. Then he more talks about a gaga samach lagaga, ganga samach lachotzen, chotzer samach lachotzen. Okay, interesting shailas. One of the things that he came up here just derech agag, that a chotzer usually has a lot of ishtamshes. A gag has very little ishtamshes. The chotzer has a lot of ishtamshes. So there's a Ramah in Hilchas Erevin where he picks up on this. Ramah is quoting it for, I think, the Marika, the Chumash Hadeshin. The Marika and the Chumash Hadeshin were the ones who set up the whole system of Psak HaLocha, the way we follow. We're following the Balei HaTosfos, usually Ashkenazim followed, but they were the ones who set everything up like that. Marik, I think, Kolin, Marik Kolin lived in Italy. Yeah. Every country, the Gedolim in every country chipped in a little bit to work out the system. So we have all system of Halacha that's in Shulchan Aruch. So the Ramah there quotes from earlier generations that in the opening Mishnah, the first daf in Erevin, Arush HaSayachet is an area for Shabbos purposes. Arush HaSayachet is an area that has at least Dalar HaDalar Tfachim, very tiny. Not Dalar Amos. Dalar Amos, Dalar Amos is a shear for a Beis Dira, that Yechai ben Mezuzah. Gemara has a whole list of dinim that depend on Dalar Amos al Dalar Amos. It's only considered a Beis Dira if it has Dalar Amos al Dalar Amos, 16 square Amos. But in order to be a Rishu Sayach, it doesn't have to be Beis Dira. If it's Dalat Tvachim, a Dalat Tvachim, it has Mechitz, it's 10 Tvachim tall, even if it's in the middle of the street, then it's considered a Rishu Sayach. Or let's say you have a pedestal. Here you go to Fort Washington, Fort Tryon Park. Fort Tryon Park over here on Fort Washington Avenue. So they have statues of George Washington on top of a horse, on top of a big pedestal. They say that a good part of the Revolutionary War was fought out over here in Washington Heights. That's why they named it after President George Washington. So these big pedestals, if you have a pedestal like this, that it's filled in with all cement, so the top of the pedestal has way more than Dalat Tvachim or Dalat Tvachim. And it's 10 Tvachim tall, is it? I don't think it's 10 Tvachim tall. 10 Tvachim tall is a little below my waist. It's a little too far below my waist. I think this is less than 10 Tvachim tall, but if it would be filled in with cement and it would be Dalar HaDalar Tvachim on top and it's Yud Tvachim tall, that constitutes a Bishu Sayachah, because you have the four mechitzah. Here's one mechitzah, second mechitzah, third. The way it is, now there are no mechitzahs over here. Here there's a little bit mechitzah, but again, it's not 10 Tvachim tall. So if it would be a pedestal, a tel Bishu Sarabim, that has a din of a Bishu Sayachah. But there are different kinds of Bishu Sayachah. So the midrabanan, there's a bais and there's a chotzer and there's a mavui, and each one has different dinim. Midrabanan, menatara rishu sayachar is a rishu sayachar. It's a rishu sayachar. It's all the same thing. But midrabanan, there may be differences. So there are differences. Bein lahakol bein lahachmer. There are certain chumris that you have. Let's say eruvi chatzeris. If you have batim in a chotzer, eruvi chatzeris has to be with pasha mevachem olav hamoitzi. The Mishnah says, Bakol Mi'arvin, the third parak in Arvin begins, Bakol Mi'arvin. You can use any fruits or vegetables, or gefilte fish, or salami, whatever. That's for Eruve Tchumen and for Shituf and Mavuas. But for Eruve Chatzeris, if it's a Chatzu with Batm, it has to be Davka Lechem. So that's a Chumer that Eruve Chatzeris has. Then there are differences between a Chatzu and a Mavui. A whole bunch of differences. Lechi, the Kaira, only works by a Mavui, doesn't work by a Chatzu. That's a kula in a mavui, and by chotzer it doesn't work, lechi v'kara. And then there's a chumra in a mavui, if you have a pirza of dala tvachim, usually if you have a rishu sayachah with mechitzas around it, so you have pirzas here and there. So if you have oimed meruba la poritz, you say ruba kakula, and any, let's say it's rectangular shape. If it's a rectangular shape, a chotzer, a bais, or whatever, so each bar of the rectangle you judge independently. If it's oimed meruba la parutz, if there's more standing than is missing, you say ruba kukula, it's a good mechitza. On each wall you judge independently, each of the four walls, if it's a rectangular shape, you say if it's oimed meruba la parutz, it's good. But by a mavui, there's a psanuchumra that doesn't apply to a chotzer. If you have a pirza of dala tvachim or more, so that ruins the whole mavui. You can't carry in a chotzer. There is no such thing. In a bias, there is no such thing. Special chumra in a mavui. You have chumras and kulas. Lech v'kara only works by a mavui. And this chumra, if you have a pirza of dala tvachim, only works by a mavui. So that's a question. How do you define a chotzer? So the Ramon Hilchas Erevin and Hilchas Shabbos, the fourth volume of the Mishnah Berurah. Usually the Mishnah Berurah, the fourth volume, is untouched by human hands. Fourth volume is that no one ever learns Hilchas Erevin. It's very, very complicated. So there's a Ramah there in Hilchas Erevin where the Ramah says, he quotes from the Marik and Chumash Hadash, and I think, we don't have any Chotzer Bizmanas there. Chotzer means, Chotzer should have been if you have an apartment building and you have apartments on my floor. There are six apartments and then there's a hallway. So the batim are the apartments are batim, and the hallway is the chotzer. So the Rama says, "Ein lana din chotzer b'zman hazeh." It's only called the chotzer if you have a lot of hishtamshus. You have hishtamshus b'kviyas. That's what Rashi points out on this Gemara. You have a lot of hishtamshus. So I would have thought that the Gemara is talking about over here hezekriya. That's why you were talking about only hezekriya if there's a lot of hishtamshus. No, the Rama quotes that's a definition of chotzer. That's the definition of chotzer. So we don't have the dinim of chotzer b'zman hazeh. In the male, if you don't have a dinim of chotzer, you don't have a din of a mavui, because the definition of a mavui is an area that's mukav for Shabbos purposes, an area that's mukav mechitzas that has at least two chatzeres opening up into it. Then it's called a mavui. But if ain lana din chotzer b'zman hazeh, in the male ain lana din mavui. So that's what we mentioned. Achrayim are bothered with a big kasha. There's a din you're not allowed to go chutz l'tchum on Shabbos and Yontif. We pask an Ashkenazim. I'm an Ashkenazi. Ashkenazim assume that all the dinim of tchum are all mid the rabbanim. The Sfardim follow the Rambam and the Rif. The Mechaber follows the Rambam and the Rif. That tchum and yud beis mil, that's a din deraisa. If you only go 1 mil, alpay mama is 1 mil. That tchum is the rabbanim. But if you go yud beis mil, that would be deraisa. So, 1 mil, 1 mil is alpayim amo. How long is 1 mil? How long is less than a mile? A mil is the distance that an average person can walk if he's only walking. The Mishnah Berurah always says 18 minutes. And others say that doesn't mean 18 minutes. It really means 22 and a half minutes. How much is a sheer mil? A mil is a distance on the ground, a distance in walking, but it's an amount of time also. The Mishnah Berurah always says 18 minute matzahs, because less than a mil, it won't become chametz. And others say that it's a mistake. It's not 18 minutes, it's really 22 and a half minutes. There used to be a professor here in the college. He taught physics. Professor Leo Levy used to live in the neighborhood. He and his brother, they were colorful people. So this, he used to teach in the college here. And then he put out, he himself learned in Chaim Berlin. But he had smicha from Rabbi Breuer. He was a yekeh. So he lived by the yekehs. And then he moved to Eretz Yisrael. He was the head of Machon Lev, Professor Lev, founded Machon Lev. That's right next to the YU building in Beit Vegan. And then after Professor Lev retired, so then Leo Levy took over. So Leo Levy put out a book, half in English, half in Hebrew, and the bulk of the, not half and half, I think 85% of the book is all numbers and symbols and numbers. And then 15% of the book is writing, so 7.5% is Hebrew, 7.5% is English. So it's called Jewish chronomy. Zman hayom b'halochem. So he's the one who talks about this, that it's really not 18 minutes. He thinks that it's really 22 and a half minutes, and he proves the case. Yeah. So the question is like this. So you're not allowed to walk more than 22 and a half minutes? Let's say... You want to walk to someone else, you want to walk to visit someone in the hospital. So you walk more than 22 and a half minutes. So you're already going chutz l'tchum. So the answer is no. The whole city is treated kedal ram as dummy. Why is the whole city? That's a din. An ear is treated kedal ram. But what's the definition of an ear? So the Mishnah has both an erevin and an erechin. An erechin, the Mishnah talks about batei orichayma. Hayoros ha'mekafos chamosu shubinam. What's the definition of an ear? And in Maseches Ervin, the Mishnah talk about what's an ear for the purposes of Tchum Shabbos. The whole ear is Kedal Ram is Dami. Then you have Shivim Amah B'Shirayim outside. That's called Ibur Shalir, like a pregnant woman is Muberis. So that's the extension of the city. The first 70 Amahs outside of the city. And then you measure Apai Mama after that. So every city, whatever the shape is, the Halacha says we treat it as if it were a rectangular shape. If the city is approximately a rectangle the way it is, let's say Manhattan, you look on a map, Manhattan is approximately a rectangle the way it is. So you just fill in the rectangle and you leave it like that, even though it's not neat northeast, southwest on a map. It's on a tilt, so since it's almost a rectangle the way it is, so you must say you fill in the rectangle. If it's like an amoeba or it's circular, and it doesn't, it's not curved, it doesn't look at all like a rectangle. So then Halacha says you take the northernmost house and you draw a line, easternmost house you draw a line, and make it into a rectangle according to Ruchas Olam, northeast, southwest. So that's the city itself. And then Shivim Amah V'Shirayim, 70 and a half amas on the outskirts, also a rectangular shape. And then you have Alpay Amah. So that's quite a bit. You can walk quite a bit. But that's only by Medra Mamurim. If it's an ear, what's the definition of an ear? So the Mishnah, both an Erevin and an Erechin, gives you the same definition. All intents and purposes, it's only called an ear if you have three chatzeris. So Tosis raises the question there. Three chatzeris. You can have one chatz in New York, one chatz in Chicago, one chatz in Los Angeles. The whole United States of America is one big ear. They have to be close to each other. How close? Do they have to be contiguous? Tosis is not mistaber. The three chatzeris have to be touching. So Tosis comes up with the chiddush. If the three chatzeris are within Shiva Mama Vishirayim to each other, is also good. Within 70 and a half amas. So you have to have three chatzeris that are near each other. And then you have Alpi Pashti, you have to have a minimum population of 100 people. That's a Machlekes Hatanaim. And the end of the first Perek in Sanhedrin. How much of a population does a city have that it qualifies to become an ir anidacha? It has to be called an ir. If you have a whole bunch of people who live in the jungle, they live in a forest, and they all worship Abed Zara. You don't burn down, there is no city. It has to have the status of an ir. So what's the definition of an ir? So the definition is you have to have Gimel Chatzeres near each other, and the Gemara says you have to have a minimum population. So it's a machlekes hatanaim, how much? We paskan 100 people, minimum population. The Ravid quotes this in Hilchas Mikra Megillah. In the days of the Baisheni, before the Churban Baisheni, there used to be a din, the opening Mishnah Megillah used to be observed. After the Churban Abayis, they discontinued that din. But the din used to be that in Karachim HaMakaf and Chamas, Yishubinun Yilein Megillah and Shushan Purim, that we still have today. Ayaris that are not mukaf is chamos yishobenun. You read the Megillah on Yudalit, but if you live in a kfar, bnei hakfar magdimim liayim aknisa. This man bayisheni till the churban abayis add that kula. If you live in a little village that doesn't have the status of an ear, so they gave you a kula. If you want, you can read the Megillah on Purim. And if it's too difficult, they were makel. They allowed you if you live in the bnei hakfar magdimim liayim aknisa. They can lay in the Megillah the Monday or Thursday before Purim, unless Purim falls out on Monday or Thursday. Then there's no din of Magdimim Liyam Aknisa. But if it falls out any other day of the week, then we're Magdim, the Kriya, they have, it's a Kula. They can lay in the Megillah on the Yom Aknisa. So the Ravid writes on the side of the Rambam, that's only provided that the city has a minimum population of 100. If the city has less than 100, then it's called Kfarim. Then it's Bnei HaKfar Magdimim Liyam Aknisa. Have a population of 100 with Gimel Chatzeres, then it's an ear. Then you don't have the kula of Yom HaKnisa, the kula Talei Megillah before. So the Ravid took out from that Gemara, he understood the Gemara has a machlokes hatanaim, what's the minimum population needed that should have the din of an ear and idachas. It's not only a din of Hilchas and idachas, it's a din of kola tarkula, definition of a city. You have to have a minimum population of 100 people who live there bekvias, says in Shulchan Aruch. Let's say you have a motel in an airport. There are always 150 people at any given time staying in the motel. Or they have a couple of motels near each other. Hotels, motels, whatever. So, but they're only there for 1 or 2 days till they get their connecting flight. They don't live there permanently. You have to have 100 people living there, bikvias. That's a shaila, how much is bikvias? Then you have a couple of other requirements also. You have a few prerequisites that something should be considered a near. So one of them is you have to have gimel chatzeris. So that's the kasha that the Maharsham deals with in Hilchas Erevin. How can anyone walk from one end of the city to the other? If ain't lana din chatzer bizman hazeh, because our Gemara says chatzeres are used bekvias, and our chatzeres we don't use bekvias. In the hallways in the apartment buildings, you don't use the bekvias. You go shopping, you take your shopping cart in the hallway. You don't sit in the hallway. Nobody reads in the hallway. Nobody eats in the hallway. You don't have parties in the hallway. Sometimes you used to have the Chanukah Chagig in the hallway. Once a year when they have the tenants have a get-together, so they have the get-together in the hallway. But that's you hardly have any Hishtamshis at all. Hardly any Hishtamshis in the hallways today. In the dormitories, maybe there's a din, because the people use the shower down the hall. and they walk in the hallways in their pajamas and their bathrobes, and they knock on the door. They go to other people's dorm rooms. And maybe the hallways in a dormitory, maybe that's called a chotzer. But the hallways in an apartment building, that's not a hall. That's not a chotzer. Hardly has any hishtamshes at all. So that's an issue. That's an issue. How are you allowed to walk more than 18 minutes or more than 22 and a half minutes in the city if ain't lana din chotzer? Ain't lana din chotzer, ain't lana din ear? Because the definition of an ear is you have to have gimel chatzeres. So the Marsham answered it by saying it's either gimel chatzeres that are near each other or 100, minimum population of 100. The pashtus is that it's not correct. Pashtus is you need all of these requirements. It either minimum population of 100 who live there bekvias, and it should be gimel chatzeres, not either or. You need all of these. So that's really a big problem. We don't have a good answer. Maybe it's taka wrong. Maybe you're not allowed to walk so far. Maybe even in the middle of the city, it should be considered chutz letchum. Anyway, but that's relevant to halacha. All of halacha is interconnected. Hilchas Chanukah. The Gemara says, "Yemad lekal Pesach beisa mi bachutz." What do you mean, a Pesach beisa? Ala Pesach mi bachutz. So Rashi and a few Rishonim say, "Al Pesach habayis mi bachutz." Tosfos says, "Wrong. Al Pesach hachotzer." You can write "Al Pesach hachotzer." So Shulchan Aruch they pasken like Tosfos. You can light "Al Pesach hachotzer." The further away from your house that you light, the more pesuminisa you will accomplish. So if you light in Times Square, you have many more people will see the menorah, but then it doesn't relate to your home. You have to light it close enough that it should relate to your home. You have to light it as far away as possible to gain the maximum pesum inisim. So that in Shulchan Aruch says you should light up Pesach HaChotzer. The Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha says that Rashi doesn't stand alone. There are a few other Rishonim also side with Rashi. You can't light up Pesach HaChotzer, only up Pesach HaBayis, in the Bayis, or up Pesach HaBayis. You can't light so far. Anywhere in the chotzer, and then even al pesach hachotzer, where the chotzer joins the mavui. But in Shulchan Aruch says he can light al pesach hachotzer. So they quote the recent Sfarim quote in the name of the Chazon Ish that he made that comment. I thought of this on my own. So I thought he was right that bizman hazeh, since the Rambam writes in Hilchos Erev ein lana din chotzer bizman hazeh, so then maybe the hallways in a dormitory have a din of a chotzer. But the hallways in an apartment building, a pashtus is not considered a chotzer. They shouldn't be able to light the al pesach hachotzer on the beginning of the hallway in the apartment building. Yeah, these are dinim and kol atarkula, relevant. What's a bias, what's a chotzer? Mavui, I think, on the level of the raisa is not relevant. There's no din that depends on mavui, but there's a din the raisa, a bias and a chotzer. The difference in the level of the raisa, the definition of an ear, is the Mishnah and Erech and an Erevin, that you have to have gimel chatzeris but a smuchim zelaze. Then the Gemara discusses how high does the wall have to be? Shut m'shorot zelas mechitze. So how high does it have to be? See, if there's a concern of hezegrias, it has to be 4 amos tall. It's above everyone's head, so you shouldn't be able to look into the next door neighbor's backyard. If it's a situation where there's no hezekriah, let's say a gog next to a gog, there's no hezekriah because you hardly use the gog, and you'll hear the next door neighbor when he's coming up to the gog, if the two gogim are touching each other. If you have a gog next to a chotzer, so he may not know when the other fellow, the guy on the gog won't know when the bala chotzer is going to use his chotzer. But if you have two gogim next to each other, they'll already know. So the Gemara says, if you have a gog next to a gog, there's no issue of hezekria, but there's an issue of nitfasol of kagan. If you don't want him to trespass on your rooftop, and if you're just going to make a little mesipas biyama, you're going to just draw a line, up until here is your roof, and this part is my roof, so the guy will be next to him, and maybe a wise guy, and he'll, if he has a big family, so they'll sit on top of the roof, and then they'll sit on my part. And then I'll come upstairs and I'll say, what are you doing? What are you sitting on my part? Oh, I made a mistake. How do you make a mistake? Because the demarcation line was originally white, but it's already 20 years later, so you can barely see the white anymore. So he'll be mishtameit. the Gemara says, "Nishtamei miso derei is bayat al farem fazich." Oh, it was an accident. I dropped something and it fell on your side of the roof. That's why I picked it. I didn't fall on the other guy's side of the roof. So that's why, if one wants to maintain his rights and privileges, doesn't want the next neighbor to trespass on his side, so you can insist, "I want a mesipas." Mesipas is a little fence that's only 3 inches tall. It doesn't have to be so tall. A little mesipas would be enough. Yeah, but if all you have is a little mesipas, then that won't prevent him from trespassing on my half. He'll claim that he dropped something. So that's what the Gemara, Rav Nachman didei amar. Rav Nachman says he can demand that he wants to have a mechitza 10 tefachim tall. That'll prevent the nitvasol of kigano. That'll prevent the next door neighbor from trespassing on my half of the roof. For hezegria purposes, you have to have the alarm is told about people's eyes, about people's heights. But for nitzvah tall of kiganov, really should it be good enough with the mesipas, a tiny, a low little fence, but because people will drag their way out of it, they'll violate the other fellow's privacy, and they'll go on his rooftop, so you can have the right to demand. You want a mechitza of 10 tefachim tall. And the Gemara has some more details over here. In the days of the Gemara, they had a dirt floor, so they didn't have a floor. So they just had walls, so it wouldn't be such an unusual occurrence. The walls would sink into the ground, and the ground is not going to sink. If it would have a floor, so everything would sink in. So the bottom apartment will still be as tall as it was when it's built. But if you don't have any floor, you're just using the dirt floor, then if the walls are going to sink in the ground, then the bottom apartment started off 9 feet tall, 10 feet tall, I don't know. Then it keeps on sinking in the ground. It's going to be very low. So the Gemara has a discussion. Does the fellow who lives upstairs, let's say two brothers, Yarshin from the parents, and then they decide they drew lots, and one of them gets the upstairs apartment, one of them gets the downstairs apartment. Each one has Milas and Chesrayim, but that's what they make up. Reuven is going to get upstairs, and Shimon is going to get downstairs. So that's one of the risks that you run. The whole building may sink into the ground, and the downstairs apartment may get ruined. So if the floor of the upstairs apartment is so low that you don't even have 10 tefachim tall downstairs, so then the fellow from downstairs has a right to demand and insist they have to knock down the whole building and rebuild it all over again, because it's understood that the guy downstairs has to have at least 10 tefachim tall. But more than 10 tefachim tall doesn't have to have. What can you use it if it's 10 tefachim tall? It's ridiculous. 10 tefachim tall is mamish nothing. It's like over here. I'm going to be living under the table the whole time. I can sleep there. You can't even sit up to read a book. It's extremely uncomfortable. I don't know if the din would still be the same as manazah. This is din, if you have such a situation. I don't know. So very surprising Gemara. So Gemara says the guy upstairs is not... It's not mechuyev to give permission to the guy downstairs to knock down the whole building or rebuild it. The guy upstairs says, "I have no problems, and I'm not meshubah to you." Unless melechatchila, hanemida delay asna gabi yado, they were asna gabi yado, they sasre bonnet. What if when they made the chalukah, they drew lops, and one said, "I'll take upstairs, you'll take downstairs," but on the understanding that the downstairs apartment is meshubah to the upstairs apartment is meshubah to the downstairs apartment, you should be able to lead a normal life. It should be at least 7 feet tall. Doesn't want to keep on, if you have someone 6 feet tall, he's going to keep on bumping his head in the ceiling. So if they made up in advance, they made it tonight in advance when they made the chalukah, so then the downstairs fellow is the upstairs fellow is meshubah to the downstairs fellow. He should have a decent apartment. I would assume Pashtus is when they made the chalukah, they should have had a good lawyer who would have put this in the agreement. Asno gabi hadodi. Of course, you have to make such an agreement. Funny dinim here. The Then the Gemara has a brisa, the last few lines on the daf, the last six lines. A fellow says, I'm selling you a base kur offer. Everybody knows, the one who is buying it knows, this farm, this field is called a base kur. Even though it doesn't have that amount. A base kur, how much is a base saw? How much is a base saw? Base saw is a field where you have the ability to plant a saw of chitin. So how big is that? You can have a gigantic field and spread the chitin far apart, or you're going to have a smaller field and put the chitim close to each other. So what's normal? What's called beis saw is normal. So beis saw is 50 by 50 amas. And the chatzah ha-mishkan, the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, it made the mishkan, it was 100 amas long and 50 amas wide. So that's called beis saw sayim, the chatzah ha-mishkan. Yeah. What's the significance of that size, 100 amas by 50 amas? That's a karpif. If you have a reshus ha-yachid, that's a... bigger than Beis HaSayim, even though nobody lives there. Even though nobody lives there, it has a din of Rishus HaYochid. But if you plant things there, and you're makpid that nobody should walk there, let's say you have the kibbutzim in Eretz, the religious kibbutzim. So they want to carry on Shabbos, if they'll make an error on the whole kibbutz, it's not going to help. Because there are areas we're going to plant, and then they're going to be makpid that no one should walk where they plant things. So that area has the status of a karpif, and a karpif is dino minator. The karpif is a rishus ayochid, because as mechitzas around and it's dalut tochem al dalut tochem. But when the rabbanon invented this new din, a karpif has the status like a karmelis. You're not allowed to carry more than dalut amos. Yeah. So that's where the relevance of the shear beis asayim is, and how much is a beis kur? A kur eifa saw. There are 10 eifa in a kur, and there are 3 saw in an eifa. So 3 saw in an eifa and 10 eifa in a kur, so there are 30 saw. There are 30 saw in a kur. And a base saw, that's a measurement of food. So, but it's also a measurement of the farm. So a farm that's 50 by 50, a karka that's 50 by 50, that's called a base saw. So if you have 30 of those all in one place, that's called a base kur. So what if I'm selling you a field? And I say, I'm selling you the base kur, but it has way less than a base kur. It doesn't have 30 base saw. It doesn't have 30 times 50 by 50 amas. But everybody knows this was the nickname. This karka, I got to be Rusha, I bought it, whatever. It's Yodua. That's called the base kur. Everybody calls it the base kur. Afal pishayin or ela lesach. Even though it's half the amount, higil. That's it. Why? Because that's what it's called in Lashem Yadim. I call it the base kur. So that's what he gets. Or if they call it, what else? I'm selling you a pardes. So he says, I'm selling you a, what's the other one? A kerem. So a kerem usually has to have grapevines. A pardes has to have, what does the pardes have to have? Rimonim has to have pomegranates. But if everybody calls it a pardes, even though it doesn't have any pomegranate, everybody calls it a kerem, even though it doesn't have any grapevines, and I said, I'm selling you the kerem, that's the nickname. Everybody knows that's what I sold. So even though it's way smaller, even though, let's say, beskur ani moichalach, even though it's half the size, he can't insist that he wants a full beskur. So Tosis raised the issue, the bottom Tosis, why don't you say damim adim? Why don't you check to see how much money did he pay for it? If you're buying a base kur, a much bigger size, you pay more money. If you buy a lesser, you pay much less money. So they say, why don't you follow damim adim? So that's what we discussed. Damim adim is a machlekes satanaim in the Mishnah, whether you paskin damim adim. So that's what Tosis discusses in Bava Kama and other mesichtas. And later in Bava Basra, they discuss it. When is there a machlekes satanaim, whether damim adim? And when is there no machlekes? Damim adim should really be, you should follow Rav. Damim adim means if he paid so much money, that's an indication that he bought a bigger size field. Buying a smaller field shouldn't cost so much money. The fact that he charged so much money, that's an indication that he is selling him a much bigger field. So the question is, if I sold you something and you paid me the money already, and then after you paid me, then you say I cheated you. So you're saying based on damim adim, which is a roiv, you want to be mitzi mammon from the muchzor. The muchzor already has the money. So could you be moitzi mammon based on a roiv? So we paskin ein halch mammon acharei machlekes Rabbi Shmuel. We paskin halacha kishmuel halchakes ke Rabbi Yisuri ukishmuel bedine. We paskin like Shmuel ein halch mammon acharei roiv. So how come the Gemara says how come there's a Tana holds that dami moidim? Maybe that Tana disagrees and he holds that you are moitzi mammon based on a roiv. Maybe he holds like Rav. So Tosis thinks not so. Yeah, that's a question. All the roivs are the same. Rabbi Kevega has a tshuva like that. They're different roivs. There's a roiv 51%, 61%, 71%, 81%, 91%, 95%, 99%, 99.99%. It depends how strong the roiv is. Rabbi Kevega has this famous tshuva in the Tinyana, in the second collection, second volume. There are three collections. There are more than three now. Used to be three. There's Madura Kama, Madura Tinyana, and Chuvas Rabbi Kevega HaChadoshes. So for many generations, there were three volumes. Now, there are more than three volumes because they found more Kisveyat of Rabbi Kevega. There was a Talmud Chacham in Eretz Yisrael passed away recently, a couple of years ago, Nosson Kishtetna. He was a descendant of Rabbi Kevega. So he had in the family, he had more Kisveyat. He published another volume, and then in London they published another volume of Chuvas Rabbi Kevega. Anyway, but in the old editions, in the Madura Tinyana of Chuvas Rabbi Kevega, he has a whole proof that if it's a very good roiv, if it's a 95% roiv, then you are Moitzi Mammon based on that. So maybe Dami Madim, maybe that Tana holds that that's a roiv bori, an exceptionally good roiv. So it's even good Lohotzi Mammon Miyaramuch. Anyway, that's an issue. So Tosfos in the other places, later in the Masechta Bava Kama, Tosfos talks about it. When do you say Dami Madim or when not? Okay, good. We'll lean out of tomorrow. We will continue. This Sunday there's going to be a Chag HaSmicha.